I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's a quote from Jesus, coming from the book of John 15:15. Hey, hey, welcome to Zoe's Corner, where we keep it real and raw with a little bit of fun. I'm Zoe, aka Mrs. Chibs, and this is my cozy corner of the world where I document my life's crazy and amazing journey, the highs, the lows, and all the messy, beautiful moments in between. We're talking faith, finances, love, life lessons, you name it. And through it all, I'm on a mission. ICE. Inspire, create, and encourage. And that's what I hope each episode does for you. So whether you're sipping coffee, stuck in traffic, or just chilling at home, buckle up, get comfy, and let's have some real talk. No filters, no fluff, just life as it is. Ready? Let's dive in. Hi everyone, welcome back to Zoe's Corner. Today on Credo Corner, I have two special guests with us. And before I get into it, I just wanted to remind you that the main purpose of this podcast is to inspire, create, and encourage. And I really believe that today's episode, as we dive deep into God's word and who he is to us, you will be encouraged. So welcome to my special guests.
Hey. Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for availing the time. So before we get into it, I would like you guys to introduce yourselves and just let us know a bit about yourself.
Okay, so hello guys. My name is Melanie Maldonado. I'm from Texas and I live inside of Houston. So H-Town.
Hold it down.
That's me. But yeah, basically I've been in my walk with Christ for 3 years now, but I didn't really submit and actually give my life to Christ last year in September. I gave him the authority to change me and he completely has changed my life. Not even a year ago, so it's been amazing.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Melanie.
Hi, everybody. My name is Glisten Burnett. I am from Ohio, specifically Canton area, if you know where that is. I started my walk with Christ around 2021, and it has definitely been the most beautiful and challenging journey that I've ever had to go through, but I wouldn't change it for the world, and I'm so excited to be able to share a bit about that with you guys today.
Thank you, ladies. So just to get to know you guys a bit, are you guys like morning people or evening people? Melanie can go first.
So I'm sadly not a morning person. I wish I was. And I'm actually still currently praying for that because I think the mornings, I would love to wake up when it's sunrising. I think it's just a beautiful moment and I should be spending it with God, but I'm currently working on that. But yes, I am an evening person.
Me too. And I don't like the fact that we live in a morning world. Like if I wish like there were working hours from like 12 and then onwards, yes, not like 8 be because my goodness, but we got to do what we got to do.
Absolutely.
What about you, Glissy?
And so for me, I would also say I'm in the same boat. I'm definitely an evening person, but you will catch me waking up early if it's to catch a flight anywhere.
Oh, yes.
So I choose my battles.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to wake up to go to the airport because you're traveling, like that's...
I can make an exception.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay. What about your favorite Bible verse, if you have one?
Ooh, there's just so many.
Do you want me to go first?
Uh-huh.
You got it.
No, you can go first.
Okay. So mine would have to be Mark 16:15, and I actually have it tattooed on me with a world map because it says to go out into the world and preach the gospel to all creations. And so as me and Melanie said, we are from America, but it was put on our heart to come here to Zambia, Africa, and to be able to just speak and to relate to the people here. It's just so cool to see how much our world's are collided even mm-hmm. across seas, and yeah. it's just been such a blessing mm. to see how the Lord can move when people just show up. So yeah.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Would you consider that your life scripture? Like everything is kind of surrounded by that scripture, going into the world and making yeah, disciples?
I honestly would, because with the amount of traveling that I do and the way that I specifically want to go in my career path mm-hmm. is something that I see myself traveling a lot. Mm. And I know for a fact a ministry is something I always want to have mm. next to me, no matter if it is my full career or mm-hmm. if it's something I do on the side with my career.
Yeah.
And I think it's just so good as a reminder as well, like going out, like you don't have to be in one specific place to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like everyone over the whole world needs to hear it. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's another reason why this podcast exists, because we may not be able to physically go and encourage someone with the gospel in Ecuador, but there is internet in Ecuador and they can have access to this podcast and still be encouraged. So
absolutely, yeah.
Thank you once again for being with us. Oh, Melanie? Yes.
So mine is Matthew 6:33. Mm. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Mm. So I'm very much, I love that verse just because I am an entrepreneur. I'm mm-hmm. a businesswoman, and sometimes I get too much involved in my business mm. instead of actually just letting it go and having God be control of my business and my life. So
that's beautiful.
Yes.
And it does say, like, and all these other things get added, right? So after seeking the kingdom first, then your business prospers, everything else follows yes. through. That's amazing. Mine is from Habakkuk 2:2-3, talking about like writing the vision down and keeping it in plain sight and running with it. And even if it takes long, it will surely come to pass. I think for me, that has been my life scripture for the longest time, and I've seen it happen, and I continue to see it happen. So even when people are like, I don't really like New Year's resolutions, for me, I'm like, I still write things down, and yeah. I do see them come to pass. So for me, that's my favorite scripture. So candy, what's your favorite candy?
I will say mine is Hershey, just because I love chocolate.
Cookies and cream or just?
No, dark chocolate Hershey, yeah.
I am not a candy person.
What?
I'm not a candy, I'm not a snack person. If you offered me like fruit or like a sugar beverage, I'll take that over candy.
Oh my goodness. How?
I just truly like can't walk down a candy aisle and be like, I'm craving that today.
But you're American.
I know, but I don't even like American food.
Oh my God. No, truly you are called to the world. And not just America, because mm-hmm. it yeah. makes sense. It makes sense
okay,
now.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Okay, so today we want to dive into what it means to be a friend of God. There's a scripture, sorry, I'm not as prepared, but there's a scripture that says that he calls us friend. Mm-hmm. And so what does friendship mean to you?
A friendship means that I need to pour my love to him. Well, obviously it's Jesus, but mm-hmm. a friend I have to call every morning, mm-hmm. here and there, making sure that they're okay. Mm-hmm. So when I say that Jesus is my friend, I try every single day to wake up and give him the glory, mm-hmm. pray to him, talk to him, and listen to him as well. Because mm-hmm. not only does he want to listen to me, but he also wants me to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I would say I'm gonna kind of reverse it mm-hmm. because I think Melanie came from the perspective of what she would do for a friend, mm-hmm. which is so good, and I just don't want to copycat on what she's saying.
Yeah, no problem.
But if I come from the state of what I want to receive from my friend, mm-hmm. would be knowing that with Jesus, like any other friend that you have, you can always go to them mm-hmm. about anything. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you should feel too shameful. Because I do even believe that with worldly friends, people have best friends and things like that. And as you grow older, I feel like there's always at least one time that you do something mm-hmm. that you feel so shameful for that you feel like you can't even confess to your best friend.
Mm.
Yeah. But that's because we're here on earth and not in heaven with our Father. Mm-hmm. And I think that having Jesus as that friend, surpassing like your worldly friends, just knowing that you can always go to him no matter what, and he will always be there to listen.
Yeah.
And I believe that friendships here on earth, they do the best they can, and obviously we love each other, mm-hmm. but we give worldly advice no matter what, because it's just in our nature.
Mm.
But knowing that when you truly seek out the word, because he's like he's gifted us a book,
mm-hmm.
like truly, like he's given this to each one of us, and it's like it's his truth and his word, and we're able to go into it all the time and just hear back from him
mm-hmm.
on paper, but then also through prayer.
Mm.
And I think that's just the best thing about having him as a friend, is knowing that you forever will have someone to talk to and lean on.
Yeah. That's great. Would you consider yourself a good friend? Like, not to Jesus, but to, like, your earthly friends?
I would say I am.
Okay. What makes you a good friend?
I think she's a good friend. Okay, I'm not going to say I'm the best friend. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, because I want someone to treat me the way that I want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
When someone calls me, if my friends call me, I try my best to, if especially if they're going through something,
mm-hmm.
I always try to bring it back to God. Because I wish someone would have done that when I was back in the world.
Mm.
So I do have some worldly friends, and whenever they seek for advice, I try to be like that one friend that I wish I had when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say I would be a good friend, but... sometimes I do have to call on Jesus to give me the patience that I need.
Mm-hmm. And the wisdom.
Absolutely. That's funny.
What about you?
For me, I would also say I'm a good friend. I would say, how do I want to put it? But that with like my friendships, definitely the ones based around the Lord and us all having a relationship, I feel like it is such more fruitful friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's constant pouring in and pouring out to each other, which is amazing to have Christ at the center of those friendships.
Yeah.
But then I'll also agree with Melanie that I have friendships too that are worldly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a struggle, because even like for myself, I sometimes struggle like calling on God to like help me with my problems.
Yeah.
And with my worldly friends, like I just have to remember that I think it's in Judah, it says, and I think it's verse 122, but it talks about how you shouldn't hate the person, but you should hate their sin, and that you should pull them out from the flames, and that you should keep your distance. But you should still be present.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to, like, rot yourself with people that have been rotting. Mm-hmm. But you still want to bring them up and speak life into them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say I'm a good friend because I do try my best with my worldly friends to chime in and tell them how, like, better life could be if they did just give up and give to God.
Mm.
But I also feel like it's also on their own timing. And so, like, I'll continue to be present.
But distant.
Yes.
Mm. It reminds me of a friend of mine from Bible school. People always used to tell her, like, she loved going to the gym and she was quite muscular. And she wasn't really, like, into skirts and everything. She used to come to Zambia, actually, for a lot of mission trips. And she was just an amazing girl. And people used to tell her, oh, you look like you're lesbian. You look like you're lesbian. And someone invited her to a gay bar. And they were like, oh, okay, since you look like them, go, like, they'll be easier to receive you, right? But then what started off as just going there once in a while to evangelize, and she would go alone, right? She ended up not keeping enough distance and ended up being one of them.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's how we lost someone from the kingdom. And it made me really sad and also just reminded me to use wisdom. Like, you can have someone, like, you can love someone from afar, but you don't need to be sitting with them 24/7, because again, it's not something that you can rush. Mm-hmm. If someone doesn't want to receive God, or if someone doesn't get the revelation of who Jesus is, there's nothing you can do. There's no sermon you can preach. There's no, you know, hugs you can give that will make someone feel the love of God if they don't want to.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
So. For sure, you have to be prepared, because God did call me out of my friendships and even family. Mm. And I did feel like a bad friend and like a bad family member, because they would call me out as in like, let's go out, let's go do this. But God told me to isolate myself for a moment until I found an actual good community of great women of God.
Yeah.
So they can pour into me. Mm-hmm. Every time one of my Christian women are amazing. I love y'all so much, girls, if y'all hearing this. I feel like they're always pouring into me. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready and I'm prepared when I'm out there in the world with my family and with other friends. Because I have that other energy that I was feeling with my other Christian friends.
And in that season of isolation, did you feel lonely, or did you feel like just having Jesus as your friend was enough?
At the beginning, it was enough, but then it got to the point that it wasn't. And that's when I was like, okay, God, like, I need my friends. I need friends. I need friends. But I kept showing up to church, and I prayed for new friends, and it wasn't until I seen God's work, and that's when he was like, okay. He opened up a whole window of a new Bible study that I could join to, and those women became my friends.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah, I think God was just like trying to prepare me for something, and that's why he called me out of the isolation. It was hard, but then I was able to connect with the God in another level.
Yeah,
and it got to the point that he still I needed more, because I was like frozen for a second, and that's when he opened up the Bible study group that I found on social media.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Yeah. When I think of some friends I have, there are some characteristics that I pick up from them because I spend so much time with them.
Yeah.
Have you seen that in your relationship with God? Like, you know, there's some people you're like, you guys hang out together so much, so you sound alike now. Is there something that you want to share of the more time you spent with Jesus, you can see some similarities of him rubbing off on you?
So for me, I'd say the biggest one would be love. I truly just, like, my heart breaks, especially on this trip and the things that I've seen when it comes to kids in the street or people living in low-income areas. My heart just completely breaks for them. And I'm not sure exactly where it says in the Bible, but it says that the Lord's heart breaks for his people. And so that it's a good thing when ours break as well.
Yeah.
And I just notice it, like, most when I'm on mission and when I'm with people. And even, like, throughout, like, my own personal friendships, I just, like, love to love on people. And that's truly, like, as simple as I can get with it. Is just, I have such a heart, and I just want to love everybody, because, you know, we can love because he first loved us. And I think that's just, like, a strong characteristic to have in a friend.
Yeah. Is it something that maybe you didn't have before? Like, being that broken with, like, you know, sometimes you get numb to, like, seeing homeless people on the streets. It's just like, they'll always be there, you know, but then when you have that change of heart, you look at a homeless person and now you're like, wow, my heart is broken for them. Was it something like that where before you were not as sensitive and now you are?
I can give an example. I would never say that my heart has never longed for those kinds of people. But I can say as a testimony to, like, my friends and even my family. So my father is a police officer. And so he sees a lot of the drugs and, like, why people get to the point that they are. And he has a hard perspective on just seeing, like, the fact that they're human, you know, and the humility for it. And he's just so quick to be like, oh, well, this is the reason they're there. Like, they chose that route, you know? And the more I go on these missions and seeking these people out and just loving on them and knowing them as people, as God's children, it's so cool to see if I send a picture back to my father, seeing him and the perspective change in his eyes of being like, oh, wow, that's great. Or, oh, wow, what were you guys able to, like, talk about? Like, did you feel scared or did you feel, like, unsafe? And it was like, no, like, my heart breaks for these people. Like, you don't understand everyone's story. Like, they're not all the same.
Yeah.
And so it's just so cool to see, like, when you have that consistent type of heart, you know, like, you're not going to get used to ever just seeing people in a place of hurt, you know? And so it's just amazing being able to see how that's even, like, transformed in my father. Just seeing, like, the way that, like, he's, like, more open about speaking about it. Because I'm not even sure if my father's having a relationship with Christ right now. And that's something I'm excited to dive deeper in when I go home.
Yeah.
But I feel like just him even, like, opening these, like, alleyways of just asking questions and seeing what I'm doing, it's like, there's been a seed planted, and it's like God's, like, he's watering it, and it's slowly starting to bloom and open up, which is amazing to see.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. What about you, Melanie? What characteristic do you think has rubbed off on you?
Well, actually, from this trip in Zambia, my first mission trip ever, we have a lot of homeless people in Houston, but they're not kids. They are very much on their 30s, 40s, and stuff. So whenever I saw the kids in the street, there's a lot here, and using drugs already, that completely just destroyed my heart and changed my perspective. Because even though, yes, over there in Houston, we do, like, community stuff here and there, only during the holidays, and it kind of broke me, because why do we only wait during the holidays to, like, give to these homeless, and only try to love them during those type of holidays? So I did have a lot of a reflection this week, and realization that when I go back home, yes, they might be in their 30s and stuff, but they were once a child, and now they're in the streets for how long, I don't know. So I really hope one day I have a courage to stop by and speak to them the way I was speaking to these children. So yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think for me, I would say my heart for children, when I was young and I had, like, a children's Bible, there was the story of Jesus telling the little kids to come to him. And in the picture Bible book, Jesus was sitting, like, on a rock under a tree, and there were so many kids around him. And I feel like that's something that God has given me. Like, I'm just so drawn to kids. Like, I just... At a family function, you will not find me with the adults. You'll find me with the children.
The
and they'll be like, ma'am, come. And especially because I'm married, it's like now I'm at the same status, I guess, with, like, the parents. So they're like, you're married now. Why are you chilling with, like, your young cousins or whatever? But I just find myself still with those kids. So my poor husband will just be sitting alone with with the big people, but... I'm just so drawn to them. Even at church, I've started serving with the creche team and just having those kids. But I feel like that desire wasn't there as much before as it was after I grew in my relationship with Jesus. So back to friendship. What's your take on how would you... If someone is speaking bad about my friend, I'm definitely defending them, right? Because you do not mess with my people. So in an instance where you hear people talking bad about Jesus, or even just, because Jesus isn't all of us. And, you know, sometimes people may not be taking care of themselves, you know, like it's like, okay, how can I explain? with your Christian brothers and sisters, right? When you see them going astray, so it could be two different options. Yeah. It could be from the point of your Christian friend is going astray and you kind of want to bring them back in. How does that work with regards to that? And also, you hear people speaking bad about Jesus. And I think that's where the Christian part comes in. It's like they should be reflecting Jesus, but they're not. So how do you defend that? And then also, if people are just outright speaking bad about Jesus, how do you defend that with your faith?
That's a good question.
Has it ever happened before or just, yeah?
Yeah, so for me, when someone speaks bad about my Jesus, God, I do get a little bit furious, but not only that, I actually get very offended. Mm. It's like, you're offending me. Mm. Because that is my God, that's my Jesus, so yeah. He's my friend, so I'm over here a little bit heated. Mm. But in that moment, I just have to stop and think and not be like Peter. Mm.
Denying.
all I'm thinking
I don't, like, know him.
Just think in my head, don't be Peter right now. So I breathe and I just either pray in my head in that moment. I say, look, I understand that you don't like this, but you're also offending who I am. That's my God. And I'm just going to pray for you. Mm. That's all I would say. It hasn't happened to me. Like, they're physically attacking me. Mm-hmm. But there was this one time I was with my family, and my cousin tells me, she's very in the world, right? So it's normal for her. She was, like, twerking and very drunk, and I'm just in a very uncomfortable position. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I was there is because my whole family was there.
Yeah.
So I had to be there, and I was just very uncomfortable. My Holy Spirit was very uncomfortable, and I was just trying to, like, I don't know, try to be there with my cousins. And she's like, we're not at church right now. You can be partying with us. And I said, excuse me? What do you mean? And I ignored her, but she said it three times. That the last time I was like, look, I'm sorry, but this is not even what I do when I'm at church. I'll be praising the Lord like this. And that's when she completely stayed quiet, and she didn't talk to me for the rest of the day, right? But I was like, okay, you're attacking my Jesus, my God. But at the same time, I know she's hurting with something that she's attacking me. So I don't take it to the heart. And I just pray for her.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
What about you, Glisten?
I would say for me, I find this happening a lot in my workplace. I have coworkers who used to be Christian who now claim to be atheists. I have coworkers who believe that there's a higher power, but they want to believe it's just the earth.
The universe.
Yes. And things happen because you do bad things and all of that. And I wouldn't say I get angry because, you know, there was a point in time that I also didn't believe and I didn't know. And I was scared. And for me, it makes me, and not in an angry way, but just more in a frustration. Because it's like, what more do I need to say for you to understand how good it could be for you? You know? And it gets to a point where it's like, when it's constantly attack after attack after attack, and I keep coming back with scripture and with love and prayer, and there has been such breakthrough, even if it seems so small, of, oh, her daughter got sick. Oh, I'll pray for you. And she says, I'll take all the prayers I can get. And it's like, you wouldn't be saying that if you didn't believe, you know? And it's just like, it just reminds me also of this verse in Psalm. And it's in chapter 5. And it makes me think of it because there's only so much that we can constantly keep saying until at this point the seed has been planted. And it's like, it's up to them because God's already meeting them halfway. They need to make that choice of, okay, I'm going to reach out.
Yeah.
You know? And so it says, my enemies cannot speak a truthful word. Despite deepest desires to destroy others' hearts, their talk is foul. Their tongues are filled with flattery. And it says, oh God, declare them guilty. Let them be caught in their own traps. drive them away because of their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But then there's also so much in the word about how no matter how far you stray, you're never too far gone for God.
Mm.
And I want to be able to find that verse right now, but I don't want to make a bunch of ruckus by flipping pages. Mm. But you guys could find it in there, and it's just like, I think that's where prayer and just consistency shows the most.
Mm.
Because it's like, it would give them more power if I just decided like, oh, well, you're just not getting it, so I'm just done trying to talk to you about him.
Yeah.
You know? But it's like, no, instead I keep bringing it up, and I even have this one coworker who's always like, all right, Glitter, like, just go pray to your sky daddy, you know? Just let him know. And it's like, yeah, she's mocking, but it's like, again, she's hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she wouldn't be making and saying these things if it wasn't for the fact that she knew.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's just afraid to surrender and let go and let God.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think, just with you speaking about your coworkers, I'm thinking about how in Zambia, it being a Christian nation, it's kind of default that everyone is Christian, quote unquote. Yeah. Like, it's not difficult to talk about God in the workplace. It's not, I mean, on all the public transport, there's like a scripture somewhere. Like, mm-hmm. you can be driving and there's a scripture there. And so the Jesus and God and Bible language is very easy in Zambia. But in the U.S., is it more difficult to, like, let's say, like, with your business, right? Like, Forever 21, their plastic bags have John 3:16 on them.
Here? So,
no, in the U.S., Forever 21.
They do?
Yep, the yellow ones.
I didn't know that.
You should check. And so, would you, as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. like, do you incorporate, like, maybe on your business cards, there's, like, a scripture about something, or, like, how... Is it hard to include mm-hmm. Jesus and God in your day-to-day at work and stuff?
So at the beginning, I wouldn't incorporate him, mm-hmm. but I think that's what he kind of convicted me of.
Because
mm-hmm. He's like, I'm giving you these clients. Obviously, it comes from him.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to the realization that I was a little bit fear of, okay, if I... Because it's not normal to speak about your religion or Jesus into someone else's that's your client.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? If they bother, you know, they're going to leave and that's okay.
Mm.
God has my back and he will provide me someone else. So, yes, now I do when the transaction, because I'm a real estate agent, a lot of things can go south.
Mm.
And I tell my clients, let's just pray. Just pray and that everything will happen, everything will go good, and you'll be able to grab the keys of your house.
Mm.
So now I plant those seeds. I don't pray with them yet,
mm-hmm.
but that's something that I feel like God now has been kind of encouraged me to do.
Mm.
Like pray over my clients whenever a transaction is not going the right way.
Mm.
And yeah, but I do. And now my closing gifts, because I give a gift to them at the end mm-hmm. for closing on their home, I've been providing a Bible verse behind their... I give them a cutting board,
mm-hmm.
and behind the cutting board, there's a Bible verse.
Oh, that's
I
nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy my house from you.
Yes.
Right? So just to wrap it up, what's something that you can encourage a listener out there on making Jesus their friend? Like, you know, relationships, like, they evolve, right?
Yeah.
Some people, they're like, yeah, Jesus is my friend, but, like, an acquaintance, you know, like, oh, Jesus is someone I just kind of know about, like, we know each other, you know, like, they go to church every Sunday, so, like, you see each other often.
Yeah.
Maybe Sunday school, they know some scriptures, John 3:16, you know, the Ten Commandments, those basic, well, they're not basic, they're good, but, you know, mm-hmm. those scriptures. How would you encourage them to grow their relationship from someone they just know to best friends, and then also to a level of brotherhood, sisterhood, actually,
because
there's that scripture that says, you know, a friend sticks closer than a brother. So how to get to that level where you go from just being acquaintances, someone I know, to being best friends with Jesus, to Jesus being my brother because we have the same father. Mm-hmm. How would you encourage them to bridge that gap?
I would say having an alone time with God, mm-hmm. just you and him, and putting worship music on. Because mm-hmm. God didn't find me with a group of people, mm-hmm. with other Christians. He found me inside the church. Mm-hmm. But that's because I will show up by myself. I will go by myself, and I will surrender it to him. Mm-hmm. And I will go back inside my car, and I will put worship music on. Mm-hmm. And I will pray, and I will ask God to show up in some way or some other. It was hard for me to read my Bible as well, so I would also pray over them, like, God, please give me the ability to open up your Bible, your word, mm-hmm. and to understand it. And that's a way that I was able to really end up loving him, because mm-hmm. I understood him, yeah. and I ended up loving him. And from there, that's when I ended up plugging into an actual community, because I do also recommend a community.
Yeah.
It's very hard to be in your walk by yourself, especially if you have so many friends that are in the world, so many family that doesn't know about Christ. Very, very hard. So getting plugged in into a community that's really centered by Christ's love, because you get to also feel the Holy Spirit through your friends. So that's my recommendation.
Thank you.
For me, when it comes to growing your friendship with the Lord stronger, I would say for me, I think everybody has different strengths when it comes to their faith. And so personally, I find worship very easy. I also find going and listening to sermons also easy. Those are things that I know I can do alone. And I'll agree with Melanie, it is challenging sometimes for me to open the word, especially when I feel like I just have to meet a quota or of, oh, well, I opened my word today. Good for me. Like, pat on my back. But I strongly encourage getting into a Christ-centered community, no matter if it's a group of guys, group of girls, co-ed, however you want to have it, and just a Bible study, opening up the word together. Because I think that there's nothing cooler, honestly, than everybody reading the same verse and everybody sharing something different that they got out of it. Because scripture is going to speak to everyone in such different ways. And it's awesome when you bring a faith-based community together and I get to hear something different than what Melanie said. And it's like, we get to share that and it's like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe you got that out of it. Like, how true is that, you know? And so it's just so cool. And I feel like it even just drives it and makes these verses even deeper when you get to hear it from different perspectives. And again, like, these books are his truth. Like, these are his life, and it's our lifeline. And so it's like, the more that you're in the word and the more that you're surrounding yourself with Christ, the more that you're gonna bridge that gap and create that stronger friendship. So that's my encouragement.
Thank you, ladies, so much. I know for sure I have been encouraged. And I think the beauty about Jesus is that you never have him fully figured out. And so even when you think you're best friends, there's like another level to being best friends. Like, just something that you have really not even, like, we've just uncovered the tip of the iceberg on the friendship, you know? I know people who have been walking with the Lord for like 50 years and they still spend time with Jesus because they know that there's still so much of him to uncover. And so it's like a lifelong journey of friendship with Jesus. And thank you. I just wanted to say thank you guys so much for coming on and for sharing your wisdom, for sharing your heart. And I am... No! Sorry. In 1 hour. Oh, it's still recording.
Praise
okay.
God, it's still going. Yeah. I was like, no. There's so, no way.
So let me. Okay.
You're going to have to cut that.
Yeah. Okay. 3, 2, 1. So thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you so much for opening up your hearts. Thank you for being willing to share your wisdom. You guys are dropping lots of gems. I know that the people listening are definitely writing a lot of things down and definitely have been encouraged and inspired. And so I just want to say thank you guys so, so, so much. Do you have any last words?
I just want to say thank you so much for letting us come on here and to be an influence to these people. I know a little piece of advice I just want to share last is I'm 20 years old, and when I signed up for this trip and came here, I did not expect to meet someone with a podcast or with this type of outreach that they're able to do. And so the fact that I've been able to come on here and sit with you and talk to these people, it's just encouragement for me to share that it doesn't matter what age you are, you can still go out and be a vessel for Christ and share with your friends and your family and your neighbors and people that you don't know. And so, I just wanted to say thank you for letting us to be able to just have that presence here.
You're welcome.
Amen. My last words are just that I appreciate this time. It was amazing. And I'm also just 22 years old, and I just started my walk fully in last year around September. So I think this is a beautiful moment. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Zoe's Corner. I hope you got a little dose of inspiration, a fresh perspective, or maybe even a good laugh along the way. If you loved this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave a review. It means the world to me. And hey, let's keep this conversation going. Connect with me on Instagram at zoes.corner or at missconnie25 and let me know your thoughts. Until next time, step out of your corner and into the world. Go out, shine bright, and let Jesus be seen in all that you do. Catch you on the next one. Bye.